太重，伤负超过两百多斤。
喂，黑王，黑王。
You're not gonna believe what just happened.
Long ago, this is what they felt like when it happened. And today, it's how we should feel too. Because what it meant for them, it means for us.
Good morning and welcome to Shadow Mountain Baptist Church. I want to welcome you to Resurrection Sunday. This is the high day for us as Christians. And we understand you could have been anywhere today. You decided to be with us, and we are so grateful. I wanted to begin by reading this in case you're not familiar with the story. The Bible says, now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulcher, bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men standing by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here. If you know it, say it with me. He is risen. Praise God for the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're here to celebrate that today. I heard of an amazing tradition that was told to me by one of our teachers this last week. They said that when they used to go to church in the old Russian church over in Sacramento, they would greet one another every Easter by saying these words: Christ is risen. And the response would be, he is risen indeed. And that's a great way to say it. So we're going to try that this morning. I'm going to say the first part, and you're going to say the second part. And if you believe it, I want you to really say it, all right? So let's try this. Let's just practice. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
I almost believe you. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah for that. Amen. Let's take our song sheets and stand this morning. We're going to begin by singing, Oh, Praise His Name, and we want to just ask the Lord to bless our time together.
Sing this out together.
I cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see His wounds, His hands, His feet. My Savior on that cursed tree. His body bowed and drenched in tears, they laid him down in Joseph's tomb, the entrance sealed by heavy stone, Messiah still.
Oh, praise the name of the Lord.
name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore, for endless days. We will sing your praise, oh Lord our God. Oh Lord our God. Oh Lord our God. We praise.
How many are thankful for the resurrection? Amen. We're so glad that you're here today. In a moment, we're going to pray, and I'm just going to ask God to bless the remainder of our service. But I do want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for being here today. If you did not receive one on the way in, right in front of you in the pew back, there's a connection card. And if you'll do us just one favor while you're here, if it's your first time, we'd like to record your visit with us and be able to say a proper thank you for being at Shadow Mountain Baptist Church. And if you'll take that card and fill it out for us, and then if you'll either give it to me or put it back there on the visitor's table on the way out, that would be a special blessing. And we just want to say again, thank you for being here with us. We're going to celebrate the resurrection with the rest of our service. And let's ask God to bless our time together. Heavenly Father, we do thank you so much for your grace and for your mercy. We want to thank you for life today. We would not be standing here if we were not borrowing the breath that we take from your hand. And so we understand that we're here for a reason. And Lord, for those of us that have been born again, we're here to celebrate the resurrection and the life of Jesus Christ. You are not dead. You have risen. And God, we praise you for that. We praise you because you conquered death. We praise you because you delivered us from our sin. And we praise you forevermore because you are worthy of all honor and all glory and all wisdom and riches and thanksgiving. And so we pray that today that you would be pleased. We pray that Jesus Christ would be exalted and lifted up. And we pray, God, that you'd bless these that have come. Thank you for their endeavor to be here. They could have been anywhere. And God, you deemed it necessary for them to be with us today. And for that, we thank you. And I pray that you'd encourage them today. I pray that every heart would have a need met and that you'd minister to them. We ask that your spirit would have liberty. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
Jesus saves, Jesus saves, and the hush of mercy breathing. Jesus saves, Jesus saves, with a Fear ye not, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you.
Some say that you knew Jesus of Nazareth, that you met Him.
Yes, that is true. I did meet Him. More appropriately, He met me.
Really? What's He like?
Regardless of what others may say about Him, I know this. I know that He cares, because He cared for me. I was completely unable to walk. I had been that way for 38 years. I had heard of the healing powers of the pool called Bethesda in Jerusalem, and so I was taken there. And there I waited. I waited in that miserable place surrounded by a great multitude of blind, lame, withered. I was waiting for a miracle. I was at the very edge of giving up hope.
Peter, why are we here? It's not safe. We could get some kind of disease.
He insisted on us coming. Perhaps we'll get to see the troubling of the waters.
The what?
The troubling of the waters. They say that an angel comes down, and stirs the waters. But whoever steps in first is healed from whatever disease he has.
Who's he talking to now?
Why do you lay here? Won't you be made whole?
Sir, I have laid here for many years, longing to be made whole. But I have no man to help me in the water when it's stirred. Before I can enter, another goes in before me.
Rise.
Take up your bed and walk.
I know that he cares. He cared for me. He met my needs when I thought there was no hope.
He is near to the broken, close to the weary of heart. In his name is a refuge, safety for the weak and discarded. Set my feet on the solid rock to stand.
There is help for the hopeless, for the wounded in need.
In the presence of Jesus, there is power unleashed. Call upon the name of the Lord. He's our defender, our healer. Jesus, our Savior, He is King over all. Call upon the name of the Lord. He's our defender, our deliverer, a shelter in the midst of the storm. Jesus, our Savior, He is King over all. God is our refuge, our strength and salvation. A mighty fortress is the Lord Almighty. There is no equal, no power beside Him. Forever our champion is the Lord our God. God is our refuge, our strength and salvation. A mighty fortress is the Lord Almighty. There is no equal, no power beside Him. Forever our champion is the Lord our God. Call upon the name of the Lord. He's our defender, our deliverer, a shelter in of the storm. Jesus our Savior, He is King over all. Call upon the name of the Lord, He's our defense.
herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins.
Laban! Laban! I've met him! The teacher! The one we've been waiting for! Come, meet him, see him, talk to him!
You're crazy, Fotina! The sun is getting to you.
Laban, listen to me. Come meet a man who told me everything I ever did. Is not this the Christ? The Messiah? I met him just a few minutes ago when I went to draw water from Jacob's well.
Please, give me something to drink.
Sir, how is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria?
If you knew of the gift of God, and who exactly it is that asked you a drink of water, you instead would have asked me, and I would give you living water.
Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. How exactly would you give me this living water?
With a man were to drink of this water, then he will surely thirst again. But if he drinks of the water that I give, he will never thirst, but it will spring up into him life eternal.
Sir, give me this water, that I may drink and no longer thirst, so I no longer have to come here daily to draw from this well.
Well, first, go. Call your husband and tell him to come.
I have no husband.
It's true. For you have had 5 husbands. And the man that you're currently living with is not your husband.
Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet.
Well, if you are a prophet, then tell me. The Jews say that we are to worship God in Jerusalem. And our fathers tell us that we are to worship Him here, in this mountain.
Look, I didn't come to argue points of religious tradition. True worshipers will worship the Father from one location, their heart, in spirit and in truth.
I know that when our long-awaited Messiah comes, He will teach us all these things.
I that speak to you am He.
I believe. He is different, Laban. He is more than a teacher. No matter what your story is, He loves. And in His love, there is forgiveness and mercy.
Story. Show me your rules, and I'll show you.
Blessed are you, lepers standing alone. The fear on their faces is all that you know. Blessed are you, lonely widow who gave your last shining coin to Yahweh. Blessed are you with your silver and lights, kissing the one who's saving your life. Tell me your story. Show me your wounds, and I'll show you what love sees when love looks at you. Hand me the pieces, broken and your tomorrow's nothing left to chance. I see my father's fingerprints. I see your story. I see my name written on every beautiful page. You see the struggle. You see the shame. I see the reason I came. I came for your story.
was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And with his stripes, we are healed.
My Savior. this Redeemer. Seems now I see him on Calvary's tree, wounded and bleeding, for sinners pleading, blind and unheeding, dying for me.
With the force of the conflict, and the sun refuses to shine, for there hangs God's Son in the balance, and then through the darkness he cries, "It is finished, the battle is over. It is finished, there'll be no more war. It is finished, the end of the conflict. And Jesus is Lord.
Yet in my heart, the battle was still raging. Not all prisoners of war.
The King of the ages had fought all the battles for me, and victory was mine for the claiming. And now, praise his name, I am free. Finished, the battle is over. It is finished, there'll be no more war. It is finished, the end of the conflict. It is finished, and Jesus is Lord. is finished. The battle is over. It is finished. There'll be no more war. It is finished. The end of the conflict. It is finished. And Jesus is Lord.
New, now life begins with you. arrested and my life began. We're free, free, forever we're free. Come join the song of all the redeemed. Yes, we're free, free, forever, amen. When death was arrested and my life began. When death was arrested and my life began. When death was arrested and my life began.
Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen.
Peter, I've heard you preach now many times with great power. Part of me wants to believe, to follow Jesus, but things hold me back.
What things, Micah?
Things in my past. Disappointments, frustrations. You wouldn't understand.
Well, I understand. There was a time after Jesus was arrested, outside of Pilate's court, but I denied him.
I think we know you. You're one of Jesus' disciples.
No, you must be mistaken.
No, you're right. You're one of the followers of Jesus.
I do not know the man.
Know him? Why, you're one of his followers.
I do not know this man of whom you speak.
Then they took him. And they crucified him. And when he died, all of my hopes and dreams died with him. I had been with him for nearly every day for 3 years. I had thought I would rule and reign with him as a king. And I was left with nothing.
So, what did you do?
I went back to my old life. I went back to fishing.
But his followers, and even you, say he's not dead. That he was raised again.
That's right, Micah. 3 days later, we heard the news. I saw the empty tomb. I was still so ashamed. I knew he could never use me again. So I just went back to fishing. Then, one day he came to us.
Peter, do you love me?
Yes, I do.
Peter, do you love me?
Yes, Lord. I love you.
Simon Peter, son of Jonas, do you love me?
Lord, you know all things. You know I love you.
Peter, I'm not through with you. You still have much value in my kingdom and for my cause.
It was then I realized that he lives. And because he lives, he offers us new life. Because he lives, we no longer have to carry the burden of our past. Because he lives, he offers us a new start. A new purpose and a new life.
I know how hopeless feels when you're staring at the bottom of an empty heart. And in my life I know how forgotten it feels. wondering if this world even knows who you are. But I've never known anything, felt anything like the love of Jesus. And it's hard to describe what's happening inside, but right now, all I know is it feels like redemption raining down on me. It feels like forgiveness has come to set me free. All my chains have been lifted. 'Cause when the hands of love touch a broken life, it feels like redemption. I am overwhelmed by this gift of grace. And I know how healing feels. 'Cause all of my pain and all of my shame and all of my tears have been erased. It feels like redemption raining down on me. It feels like forgiveness has come to set me free. All my chains have been lifted. 'Cause when the hands of love touch a broken life, it feels like,
say goodbye,
the past is ending,
say hello
to a new beginning.
No more doubt,
the sun is shining.
Down on me, it feels like forgiveness has come to set me free. All my chains have been lifted.
'Cause when the hands of love touch a broken life,
it feels like redemption raining down on me. It feels like forgiveness to set me free. All my chains have been lifted. 'Cause when the hands of love touch a broken life,
when the hands of love touch a broken life, feels like redemption. It feels like redemption. It feels like redemption.
Thank you. that sights the blind, that heals the sick, the lonely finds.
It has the power to free the bound as chains they fall upon the ground.
So pour it out to cleanse my soul and let His liquid glory flow,
because it lives to make me whole. I owe my life, I owe my all. So I come to tell you He's alive, to tell you that He dries every tear that falls. So I come to tell you that He saves, to shout and to proclaim that He's coming back for you. So I come to tell you He's alive, to tell you that He dries every tear that falls. So I tell you that He saves, to shout and to proclaim that He's coming back for you. What can wash away my sin? Nothing, nothing. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood, nothing but the blood. What can wash away my sin? Nothing, nothing. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood, nothing but the blood.
Message this morning, say amen. Man, that was wonderful. Let's congratulate the choir and thank them for their songs this morning. That was amazing. Well, that's why we're here. If you've never heard it, we've come to tell you that He's alive and He is very well. Let's take our song sheets and stand this morning. I want to sing. It wouldn't be Easter if we didn't sing this song. I want to sing one verse. I want to get around and shake hands with somebody this morning. Let's sing about God sent His Son.
God sent His Son. They called Him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives.
let's get around for the next few minutes and greet those around us. As we all find our place again, we're going to sing the second and third verses of that great song. Think about these words as we sing it out together on that second verse. As we all find our place this morning.
How sweet to hold a newborn baby and feel the pride and joy he gives, but great still, that calm assurance this child can face uncertain days, because he lives, because he lives, I can face tomorrow, because he fear is gone, because I know he holds a future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. And then one day I'll cross that river, I'll find my spine, oh, war with pain. And then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory, and I'll know he lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow, because he lives, all fear is gone, because I know, he holds the future, and life is worth the living.
our offering, and I want to just thank you all, especially the choir that sang today, and I want to thank you all for being here. If you're visiting, this is our time to worship the Lord because He's been so gracious and He gave to us. So if you're visiting, we don't want to ask you to put anything in the offering plate. We want this service simply to be our gift to you. This is our time, however, to be faithful to Him. And we know this at Shadow Mountain Baptist Church, God has never let us down. Not one time. He's always provided for us. He's always met our needs, and we're thankful for that. And so let's take our offering this morning and ask the Lord to bless it. Father, I pray now as we give that it would be out of the same heart of love when you gave your only begotten Son. And Lord, we pray that you'd take what we have, that you'd bless it, that you'd further the gospel of Jesus Christ and this message, Lord, that has been told now for more than 2 millennia. We pray that you'd bless it, that people would be saved. Bless the remainder of our service, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Ask you to, if you have your Bibles with you this morning, to turn to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I know some of you got a crock pot going. I know others probably have a reservation somewhere. And so I'm going to try to be as polite as I possibly can and be sensitive to the time. And yet I want you to know, for a preacher, there is no greater day to preach the gospel of Christ than on Resurrection Sunday. And so I'm a little bit excited this morning. For those of you that know me, if I get carried away, just pray for me, all right? And we'll do our best to be pleasing to the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if you will, please stand together for the reading of God's Word. I just want to read a few verses today and want to make some points and aptly ask the Lord Jesus Christ to help me. And for those of you that may be here and you've never heard that story as clear as it was sung, I want to try to bring some application to you this morning. And I want to try to help you understand what Resurrection Sunday, or as many know it as Easter Sunday, is all about. And I don't know how many of you came. I know some came because they just drove by. I know some came because they were invited to come. And for those of you that gave the invitations out, I want to say thank you for that. Others came because they saw signs. And others came, I don't necessarily know why, but I know this. We're all here because God wanted us to be here. So I want to take full advantage of that time, and I want to help. Want to be a help and a blessing to you today. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the Bible says, moreover, in verse 1, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand. Paul is writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to believers. When I say that, I want you to understand what I mean. I mean people who have been born again by grace through faith. They have taken the message of Jesus Christ personally, and they have understood that Jesus died for them. And they have asked Him in a repentant way to forgive them of their sin and to take them to heaven when they die. To save them is a Bible word. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world. Listen, but that the world through Him might be saved. He's writing to those people. The next verse is, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He was seen of Cephas, that is Peter, then of the 12. After that He was seen, notice this, of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that He was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all He was seen of me also as one born out of due time. I want you to look over, if you will, in verse 16. I want you to notice, for if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Look down, if you will, in verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the firstfruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. Now watch verse 22. It's very important. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the Bible, and I thank you that we can trust it this morning. And I ask, God, that you'd use me to be your vessel. Pray you'd help me to get out of the way of the Holy Spirit of God, and that you'd minister freely to everybody in this room. And I pray, God, you'd be glorified. I pray that somebody today would be helped. Lord, again, I want to say thank you. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for your shed blood. I want to thank you and praise you for your resurrection. I want to thank you for changing my life and changing the lives of so many people in this room. And yet, God, there may still be some here today that have need of being changed. And so I pray you'd save their soul. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. The Bible says, for when we were yet without strength, and in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Now, I don't know about you, but I like when a company so believes in what they are selling that they are willing and able to give some guarantees. I was raised back in the old days when Sears was still a viable name. And Sears had a label on their tools and on some of their things that they made called Craftsman. How many have ever heard of Craftsman? Craftsman was the manufacturer of all kinds of different things. And my daddy said to me decades ago, he said, son, always buy Craftsman. They back what they build. And he would buy chainsaws, and he'd buy all kind of tools. And we had garden hoses. And whenever something would break, he'd just go back to Sears. And I remember standing in line after one of the chainsaws, by the way, that I broke, that went back. And he just stood it there, and he said, it doesn't work. He said, what's wrong with it? He said, it really doesn't matter. You're supposed to give me a new one. And you know what they did? They went in the back, and they got him a new one. I like that. And you know what made me want to do? Made me want to buy a Craftsman chainsaw. In case my son broke it, I could just go get a new one. It didn't matter what it was. We had a black garden hose in front of our house. And we kept that thing for 20 years. Started leaking. Dad took it back, got a brand new garden hose. So, man, that is awesome. You know, we like things like that. We like when there are some guarantees. Do you know what I found here in this passage of Scripture? That the empty grave of Jesus Christ provides all of us with some guarantees. The Bible tells us, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, that Paul gives utterance to all of us about some guarantees. What's the guarantee? What's the big deal that Jesus Christ rose from the dead? What do I get from that? Well, first of all, let me just say, and you may have an outline, you may want to take notes, you may want to just listen to me for a few minutes. First of all, it gives us the guarantee of a Savior. The guarantee of a Savior. The first seven verses tell us that Jesus died to save us from our sin. By the way, that means then the resurrection declares Christ is the Son of God, according to Romans chapter 1, and declared to be the Son of God, listen, with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. Now, why is that so important? Because, first of all conquerors have been conquered by death. Name a king, name a ruler, name a president, name a philosopher, name an author who has lived, and I will tell you, they have all died. Every single one of them. No one escapes death. That's because, secondly, all people have an appointment with death. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27. By the way, again, this is not me. This is not philosophy day. This is a day we come to listen to what God has to say from the Bible. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27. And it is appointed unto men, that is all men, once to die. And after this, the judgment. Consider this. Samson was not strong enough to overcome death. Solomon was not wise enough to outsmart death. And even though Methuselah lived to be 969 years, he couldn't outlive death. Eventually, everyone will keep their appointment with death. And the Bible declares, then thirdly, only Jesus has conquered death. This proves that he was not a liar. This proves that he was, in fact, not only from God, but that he was God, because only God can conquer death. The Bible tells us in John 10 and verse 17, Jesus said, "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again." Listen, no man taketh it from me. Don't ever get the idea that someone killed Jesus against his will. He laid his life down. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. This commandment I have received of my Father. You see, the resurrection of Jesus Christ guarantees the world that there is a Savior. By the way, only one. Why? Because he conquered death. Secondly, it means that there's a guarantee of salvation. If there is a Savior, and by the way, there is, that means that there is only one salvation, and that is through Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us in verse 17, "And if Christ be not raised, then your faith is in vain." Without even thinking, people were dismissing the importance of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, mind you, these are Christians. People in the church at Corinth who had decided to dismiss the importance of the resurrection. Is it that big of a deal that Jesus rose again? By the way, they had been infiltrated, Brother Moore. People had been disseminating this false doctrine. Well, Jesus wasn't really resurrected. And by the way, there are lots of false doctrines that you need to be careful about there. Some people are fearful about the what-ifs of life, and yet these Christians didn't think about the what-ifs if Jesus isn't alive. I want you to consider, first of all, the piercing alternatives that Paul brings to mind here. And I want you to notice these awful what ifs. If Jesus Christ be not risen from the grave, he tells them, you're still in your sin. If he's not alive, there is no forgiveness. Which means if there's no forgiveness, there is only eternally guilt. Only. If there's no resurrection of Jesus Christ, that means those who are already dead are dead forever. And he tells them that. He said, if there's no resurrection, think about this. Every terminal illness is terminal forever. There is no such thing as Christian joy. If Christ is not alive, your sin is going to keep you from heaven, because the end result of all sin is death. The wages of sin is death. Every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed, and when lust is conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. If Jesus isn't alive, then he has no gift to offer. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Why is that so important? Because Jesus is not dead. He's alive. Consider the piercing alternatives, but I want you to understand this guarantee comes with some powerful absolutes. Right in the middle of the text, the Bible says, but now Christ is risen. The absolute fact. You see, all of the disciples of Jesus Christ would testify of Jesus' resurrection, and that message would change the lives of everyone who believed it. Consider the Apostle John, who was on Jesus' breast at the Lord's table. He writes in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 3, "That which we have seen, that which we have heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." Now think about the absolutes. Because Jesus is alive, there's forgiveness of sin. Man, I don't know about you, but when I got saved, I had a burden of guilt upon my chest and on my back. And when Jesus saved me, it was gone, according to the Bible. You ever felt that relief? You ever felt the blood of Jesus Christ wash you from your sin? Because that's the joy worth living. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." To what? "To an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." Now, I don't know about you, but it sounds to me like Peter and John got it right. That they saw Jesus, that they watched him die, and then they witnessed his resurrection, and that message has been told for 2,000 years. Why? So that we could have forgiveness. So that we could have joy that comes with being clean by the blood of Jesus, our risen Savior. Here's the great part. God doesn't want anybody to miss out on his gift. You see, there would be some in this world that would declare that Christianity doesn't want everybody to be saved, but that is not true. Because if that were true, then Jesus was not true. Because Jesus said that he so loved the world. In fact, the Bible says that the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward usward, that he is not willing that, listen, any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth? For there is one God and one mediator between God and man. Did you hear what I said? Only one. And his name is Jesus Christ, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. The Bible says, then in light of that, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth us to repentance? Do you understand that though what we witnessed today on these video screens was a mere replication of what really happened? Friend, Jesus was awfully crucified. Say, why? For you. More specifically, for your sin and for mine. Oh, how good is God that he would be willing to die for my sin, that he would be willing to take my penalty, that he would be willing to step in light of and say, listen, I want to be the substitute. I don't want them to die. And God says, I don't want anybody, not one person. I don't care what their skin color is. I don't care where they live. I don't care what their mama said. I'm telling you, I want to save everybody. All of this proves that God so loved you that he gave his only son, so that if you would simply trust and believe, that you would not perish ever, but have everlasting life. So what Jesus says to one, listen carefully, he says to all, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And this is what he said, believest thou this? Now there's a lot of people that would say to me and have said to me, I believe that Jesus lived and died. They would even go so far to say, I believe that he died for all and he died for sin. And I have to ask him, do you believe he died for your sin? And I've even had some people say yes. Then when I go and I say, now let me ask you this, would you be willing to forsake all and trust him alone to be saved today? Tragically, can I report, as much as I wish this wasn't true, not everybody that hears that truth trusts Christ. There's still people yet in their sin because they're trusting in religion. Hear me carefully today, because you may never be back at this church. I'm not telling you that salvation is found in this church. It's not in the Shadow Mountain Baptist Church. It's only in Jesus Christ. I cannot save you. This group of people can't save you. Being on this ground is not holy ground to save you. But when you go to the cross and you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, he exalts you by the blood of Jesus alone. And if you'll trust him today, oh, there's a guarantee. There's a guarantee there's a Savior because he's alive. There's a guarantee that there is salvation. Lastly, there's a guarantee of our similar resurrection. I want you to see this carefully and we're done. Look, if you will, at verse 20 again. But now Christ is risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Now watch verse 23. But every man in his order, own order. Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ's, notice, at his coming. Do you see that? That is imperative. You see, God explains that imperative to our resurrection, that is life after death, is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So we've got to look at the facts. First of all, the fact that Jesus' resurrection, there's a fact that Jesus, the fact of Jesus' resurrection from the grave. 500 witnesses testified to Jesus being alive. How could you deny that? Today you go to jail for the rest of your life for killing somebody if you have one witness, sometimes not even that. They'll convict you for circumstantial evidence, but we have 500 witnesses, and yet there's still a rumor around Jerusalem that the disciples took his body. Are you kidding me? 500 people said that we physically saw him, and there could still be a doubt in this world. He's alive. He is alive. Because God says so, but because also he showed himself alive. Acts chapter 1 and verse 2, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion. Jesus readily said, hey, look, I'm alive. He appeared to 500 people at once, the Bible says. The fact of his resurrection. Secondly, the fact of his return for every believer. The Bible says here in 1 Corinthians that he is coming again. That's a guarantee. Listen to me. Listen carefully. If you believe Jesus came to Bethlehem and was born of God, say amen. If you believe that Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, was raised again from the dead 3 days, say amen. Amen. That means that he's coming again, and we don't know when that is, say amen. Amen. That's a promise. That means I have no reason not to believe that he's coming again. Now, friend, he is coming again. How you are received all depends on what you've done with the risen Savior. Thirdly, the fact of your resurrection rests on what you do with Jesus before you die. Talk to a lot of people. I don't want to get saved today. I'll just wait. Well, that's interesting because not even I know when I'm going to die. I don't even know how I'm going to die. I don't know that anybody actually knows how long they have given a car accident, a plane accident, and I'm not trying to put fear in anybody. I'm just trying to say, if I respect the word of God at all, I understand that salvation is a matter of the hour in which I live. Now being 50 years old, I understand I may not live the rest of the day. In fact, I may go home and have a big fat lunch and have a heart attack and go to be with Jesus. That's just the reality of life. But at least I know this, that if I die in Christ, at his return, I'm going back. I will arise again. That is a guarantee. You say, how can you be so arrogant? Friend, I'm not arrogant. I don't take the blood of Jesus Christ at all for that. I needed Jesus to save me. I needed him to wash my sin. I needed him to do what religion could not do. Listen to me. I don't care who on this planet says that salvation is in their religion. That is not true. Hear me carefully. It is only in Christ, or it is not salvation. Now, if that's the case, I bid you this invitation. Would you take him at his word? Because if he came like he said, if he died and rose again like he said, and he is going to come again like he said, how could you not trust him? Well, I wasn't raised like you. I've been taught other things, and I just, okay, wait. Like, consider this. The Jews were the people that Jesus came to. The deepest, the most widespread religion of the day, everybody on the planet knew that the Hebrew God was the creator God because of what he did to Israel and for Israel. Jesus, the Messiah, came to them. Listen, and they would not believe because it didn't fit their religious box. They said, we're not changing what we believe. And the Bible says that Jesus came into his own, and his own received him not, but to as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. What does that mean? That means that the most religious people of the day would not change their mind about Christ, which tells me there are still people today that will do the same thing. Well, I was baptized into this religion. This is part of my culture. This is just who I am. Listen, I'm not asking you to change who you are. God's asking you to change what's the truth. He's asking you to believe. Remember what Jesus said? Believest thou this? If salvation is given to anybody, it's given freely, or it's not salvation. If you could be saved by keeping a list of to-dos, may I ask you then why Jesus died? He wouldn't have needed to die because you could save yourself. And a lot of people like that. No, I kind of like being in charge of my own redemption. Okay, see how that works out for you. You see, believers in Christ understand there's no list of to-dos that can be done. It's only through Christ. I wonder today, if you need to be saved, hear me carefully. If you're like me 25 years ago, you could be sitting in this auditorium and God is pricking your heart and you know, I need to be saved. I'm lost. You may know someone in this room that's saved, and you're saying to yourself, I'm not saved, and I need to be saved, and I know it. I want you to know this. God wants you to be saved today. He sent his son to prove his love for you. He rose again 3 days later to prove his power over death. And he offers that free gift to you, and he's begging you, please come. Come to Christ. There are people in this room who got saved years and years and years ago, and it would be no shame at all for somebody to say, I need Jesus. My little boy, Braden, 2 nights ago, before he went to bed, my wife came in and said, Braden wants to talk to us about getting saved. I said, okay. Now that was news to me because supposedly Braden had already gotten saved. So I went in. I asked him, he was in tears like most of us. And he said, Dad, I have a burden on my chest. I need to get it off. I need to get saved. I said, really? He said, yeah. I said, here's what I didn't say. You're saved. Now go to bed. No. I said, son, do you know God loves you? He said, yeah. I said, do you know what sin is? Yes, sir. He told me what sin was. I said, are you a sinner? He said, yes. Now hear me carefully. How much sin could a 7-year-old commit? Worthy of hell? He said, Daddy, I'm a sinner. I said, do you know what Jesus did? He said, he came to die for me. I said, who's the only one that can save you? Jesus. I said, son, the Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. He said, I know. I said, then let's pray. He said, Daddy, I just want to settle it. I said, then let's do it. That little boy prayed the sweetest prayer. And he asked Jesus to save him, listen to me carefully, from hell. You know how hard it is for a daddy to hear his 7-year-old say, Lord Jesus, I realize that I'm a sinner and I deserve to go to hell. But I really believe that you died for me. And I want to ask you to please come into my life and forgive me of my sin and take me to heaven when I die. And he got saved. Why? Because his daddy was a preacher? No. But because Jesus is alive. And that story has been told for more than 2,000 years, and it still carries the weight and power of Almighty God. And if you will trust him today, you too will be saved. Father in heaven, I love you and I thank you for who you are. I thank you for saving me and for saving my wife and my beautiful children and my little boy just the other night. I'm so grateful. Thank you for the promise of heaven. Thank you for the truth of the Word of God. And I have no reason to ever doubt you. Now, Lord, I plead with you, and I said this morning, early in the morning on the first day of the week, is it your will, God, that somebody be saved today? And I know it is your will. Now I beg of you, if there's somebody here in need of that precious gift of eternal life, would you please save their soul? With every head bowed and every eye closed, I wished I could save you. I wish I could pray for you and save you, but I cannot.